Dash with Robots, the podcast for news and views on robotics. Hello and welcome to episode 139 of the Robots Podcast. I am Jana, and today we will be hearing about origami robots from Dash Robotics CEO Nick Kohut. But first, let's hear what's new in robotics from Christine.
Thanks, Jana. Researchers at the Koch Institute for Integrative Cancer Research at MIT have developed a new online game called NanoDoc that allows players to design nanobots to treat cancer. Like bioengineers designing nanoparticles, gamers can imagine nanobots with different sizes, coatings, and cargos and combine them into treatments that they inject into a virtual tumor. The ultimate goal is to find new ways in which nanoparticles can swarm to improve treatment outcome. Best solutions found by the crowd will be tested in the lab, using a cancer-on-the-chip device or large swarms of robots. Since its launch 2 weeks ago, the game has seen 10,000 visitors, 1,500 players, and 35,000 simulations. You can play the game at nanodoc.org. In other news, the final round of the 23rd annual Loebner Prize competition was held in Northern Ireland this week, with four chatbot finalists trying to pass a Turing test by fooling a panel of judges into believing that they were human. In the tests, the computer programs conversed with the judges using written text, much like in an online chat. Some of this year's tricky questions by the judges included, how many plums can I fit in a shoe? And which is bigger, a big lion or a small mountain? In the end, unfortunately, none of the chatbots managed to fool the judges, so no gold or silver medals were awarded. This year's bronze medal went to a chatbot called Mitsuku, created by Steve Warswick to engage visitors to his website that showcased his dance music. On the bright side, the lack of winners means that the grand prize of $100,000 and a corresponding solid 18-karat gold medal are still up for grabs. For more information on the NanoDoc game or on the Loebner Prize, visit us at robohub.org.
Nick Kohut recently obtained his PhD from UC Berkeley and now heads up the team behind Dash Robotics with co-founders Paul Birkmeyer, Andrew Gillies and Kevin Peterson. Dash Robotics bring together technology, biology and advanced manufacturing techniques to produce high-performance, low-cost robots. The company aims to make robots accessible for everyone and has recently launched the world's first foldable, programmable origami robot called Dash. This DIY robot can be assembled and programmed by almost anyone and is currently being rolled out in a crowdfunding campaign to support further development. Matthew Schroyer spoke to Nick Kohut about the idea behind and the future of Dash Robotics.
So hi Nick, welcome to Robots.
Hi Matt, how's it going?
It's going very good. You introduce yourself to our listeners and tell us a little bit about your background.
Sure. My name's Nick Kohut. I recently received my PhD in mechanical engineering from the University of California, Berkeley, working in the biomimetic millisystems lab on small robots. I also recently founded, along with three co-founders, Dash Robotics, Inc., which aims to provide super fun and also educational toy robots to kids and hobbyists. And we also have some ideas for what small mobile robots can do in the future in a broader range beyond the toy space.
Excellent. So Dash Robotics specializing in small robots with the inspiration of insect movements, is that correct?
That is correct, yeah. So we've been working for several years now with biologists at UC Berkeley, most notably Robert Full, who has been studying animal motion for decades, and he's sort of the preeminent authority on this. And what we found some interesting traits that all animals possess. One is that the springiness of their legs, their leg stiffness, is about the same when you normalize it for their weight and size. And if you get that right, you'll have a robot that runs very fast and very efficient. And if you get it wrong, you won't. And the other thing is the pattern in which their legs move, their gait, is actually also shared, whether animals have 8 legs, 6, 4, or even 2. So that's very interesting and something we're able to emulate in the robot, which gives us a very fast machine, but also a very efficient machine.
Yeah, could you tell us a little bit about the latest creation from Dash Robotics, the Dash robot, which uses some of that technology?
Sure, yeah. So this is our first product. And there was a research version actually invented back in 2009 by my co-founder, Paul Berkmeyer. And its construction method is very interesting. It's actually made of a sandwich of sort of run-of-the-mill poster board and 1/1000th of an inch thick plastic. And it's a flat fabrication method where you fold up the robot into a 3D shape, somewhat similar to origami. It's not quite exactly the same, but it's similar. And this has a lot of advantages. It's lightweight is a big advantage. You can also make things very small that you couldn't with traditional construction methods. A traditional joint with a ball bearing can only get so small before the friction really overwhelms it, and our flexor joints don't have that problem. So we're able to produce these 15-gram robots that run at 5 feet per second, which is 15 body lengths per second, but get incredible battery life. Our prototypes have around 45 minutes of battery life. We're not sure what the final spec will be as we add features, but that's about almost 2 miles of running on one small battery charge.
That's quite a distance out of such a small robot. There's more photos and videos available on the Dash Robotics website, but the thing that struck me about this robot, as you mentioned, was the agility. I believe there's a video that you've posted of the Dash robot basically outmaneuvering a wheeled car toy. and there are also videos posted of children playing with the robot, and it was just really surprising that the robot is so agile for being for having feet and legs. I mean, we're typically associated walking robots with some things that are very slow. So could you speak a little bit about what that kind of magic is? Why is it able to run so fast in such a small package with legs?
Yeah, that's a fantastic question. And the reason that you see most running robots, you know, if you can even use that term, most legged robots moving so slow is because they have a lot of joints, a lot of degrees of freedom, and a lot of sensing. And so the way they do it is they're really, you know, sort of to anthropomorphize, they're thinking really hard about where do I put my foot next because I don't want to fall or something like that. And that requires a lot of computational power, and it requires all these motors and degrees of freedom, and it makes everything really heavy and really slow. So we sort of threw all that out and looked to nature. And you'll find what animals do is actually when they run very fast, they're essentially running open loop. And what I mean by that is they're not thinking about where their foot goes next. They're just thinking run. And what happens is the dynamics of the system is so good. Their legs are so well tuned to the surface that they don't need to think about it. So this makes you much faster. So Dash has a high power to weight ratio for sure, but it's the dynamic tuning that we do that, again, has been refined over years in our PhD work that allows the robot to run so quickly and so robustly over a variety of surfaces. We call it mechanical intelligence.
Excellent. So that makes it very interesting and very fun also for children. Is this also an educational product?
Yeah. So there was a sort of nice side effect of by designing it to run like an animal. In the research lab, we were interested in performance, but it turns out that people really have a strong reaction when they see it run. Some people are delighted, some people are creeped out, but we think it's sort of great either way, that people have this strong reaction. And because it's so small and low cost, it's a great platform for educational efforts. It's equipped with an Arduino board that we're designing ourselves that has an integrated Bluetooth module and motor drivers. So for very low cost, you know, $65 robot, you can learn to program. You can learn to build these robots. You can learn a lot about mechanical engineering and linkages and gears and drivetrain. You can learn about electronics. And you can learn a little bit about biology, too. So there's a large educational space there at a price that was previously impossible. A Lego Mindstorms kit is missing a lot of that, and it costs $300. So we're a fraction of that price.
And you mentioned Arduino, which is a very important system to makers, people in the DIY movement. Can you explain what Arduino means and what that is a little bit?
Sure. Well, a lot of people, you know, when you talk about Arduino, they think of the Arduino Uno board, which is sort of the standard Arduino board. It's a very easy-to-use microcontroller. You can get things working very quickly, LEDs, servos, motors, things like that. But it's also a sort of open-source language and standard that anyone can build their own Arduino board and use the programming language to very quickly bring up robotics projects and other hardware-related projects. But we think it's a great trend. And one thing we think is missing, though, is all the Arduino boards we've seen, none of them have an integrated motor driver. So you have to add a shield, which, you know, costs some money and also is sort of heavy and clunky, and it's an add-on. And so we're building an Arduino board that integrates that, which is great for small robotics. And Arduino is a big enabler because it just makes everything so much easier.
Excellent. So could you explain what the motor driver is and what that does for these systems?
Sure. The motor driver is an H-bridge chip. I'm actually not an electrical engineer. That's some of my partners, so forgive me if this isn't all 100% accurate. But it's an H-bridge chip. We're going to use dual H-bridge drivers. And it's able to drive a motor at 1 amp in either direction. And with something like an Arduino Uno board or DigiSpark, which are both great products, but if you want to do robotics with your own motors right off the bat, it's not as easy to drive a motor. You'd have to buy a separate module and snap it on. So this allows us to keep the board very small. We're aiming for 2 by 1 inches and be able to just drive the motors in an integrated way. So it's a single board that lets you do most of the things you'd want to do in robotics, I would say.
Excellent. And as a part of this Arduino compatibility, there's also a dedicated smartphone app to drive it. Is that correct?
Yeah, so that's something we're developing as well. I think the app is quite straightforward that we're planning. It's essentially a joystick for the robot, you know, forward, backward, left, and right, and hopefully adding some of the sensor functionality as well. So, you know, for a lot of people, they want a cool toy that they can run around. You know, it's fun to build. Their kids think it looks cool and it runs around. And that's what the app will be great for. But one of the big ideas here is that the robot is expandable. So you could write your own app for a browser so you can run it off any computer. You could write it for, you know, if you're really into it, you could write it for Android. With the Arduino language and Bluetooth 4, it's pretty easy to interface to.
So the Arduino language makes it very easy to hack into to expand the capabilities. And one of the things that was mentioned on the website was that the idea that you can add on sensors. So how would a sensor help the robot be more functional in its environment?
Right. So there's a few sensors we're going to include in the robot off the bat, and that's a gyroscope. Which will help the robot steer because that tells you the turning rate of the robot. There's a visible light sensor, so you can use it to follow a light, or if you want to make it even more cockroach-like, you can have it run away from lights. We're planning on putting IR emitters and sensors on, so you can program in behaviors like wall following. And also some LEDs and some pins for expandability. So one cool idea was if you wanted to add, like, a touch sensor. You know, you can have a touch sensor on the front and the back. And then if you have two, you can play sort of battle bots. And when you touch, you can score points. And your LEDs can be like a health meter from green to yellow to red.
And what kind of lessons do you hope kids will take away if they interact and start to develop with the Dash robot?
Yeah, it's a great question. We're actually looking for educators to help us develop a curriculum around Dash at this time. But some initial ideas we've had of things you can teach is, for example, we could have different transmissions, and so you could learn fractions based on gear ratios. Or you could teach physics by learning about the difference between dynamic and static friction. You know, as Dash runs up an ever-increasing incline, he'll stick to the incline when he's not moving, but when he starts to run, he'll actually run downhill eventually. And that's where you know, okay, now we're in the slip range and we have dynamic friction. That's probably a more like a high school level thing. You could teach biology and learn about how animals run. So there's a lot of things out there I think that you could learn. Not to mention, of course, programming with the Arduino language on a fun platform. And all the cool mechanisms of Dash. So he's driven by a lot of cool four bars and other classic sort of mechanical engineering linkages that I think would be great for kids to learn in the K through 12 range instead of waiting till college.
Excellent. I would like you to talk a little bit about the company, Dash Robotics, a new startup. Could you tell us a little bit about how it got started and the kind of talent and where you're based?
Sure. So we're based in Berkeley, California, and there's four of us, myself, Paul Berkmeyer, Kevin Peterson, and Andrew Gillies, and we all worked in the same lab at Berkeley on these small robots, and we were getting close to graduation, and we had started doing a lot of outreach events, just going to schools and sort of science museums and things like that, and showing them to people, and we just got a ton of questions about, like, oh, can I buy this? Can I have one? And, you know, as we got closer to graduation, we thought, wow, this is, you know, people really like this. We should see if we can turn this into a company. I mean, we all believe in engineering education and education in general, and we wanted to sort of start something of our own.
Very neat. And so if a person wanted to obtain a Dash robot, how would they go about doing that?
Well, today you can go to dragoninnovation.com, spelled just like that, and click on us. Or actually, probably the easiest way is to go to dashrobotics.com. That's just D-A-S-H robotics. And we have a big green button that says check out our campaign. That's a crowdfunding campaign. It's similar to Kickstarter, where you pledge money in exchange for a Dash, and that sort of helps us get off the ground, covers some of our fixed costs, and in return you get a Dash, you get an awesome robot, and we get a jump start to our company.
Very neat. And I just looking at the website, the initial goal was $64,000, and it's already blown past that goal, and with 18 days left. How long did it take to reach that goal, and what's your kind of reaction to the to the kind of support that's come to the project?
The support has been fantastic. The goal took about 5.5 days. So we were really happy with that. Our goal from the outset has been to sell 1,000 robots, and that's to get feedback from customers, see what they do with it, see what they like about it, without running into a lot of the manufacturing problems that you see in a lot of crowdfunding campaigns. So a lot of crowdfunding campaigns, they'll sell way more and have all kinds of delays, and we're trying to do our best to avoid that by limiting our sales. So we don't expect to, you know, go out and make $1 million or something on this. But what we do hope is that people get a Dash robot and get involved and give us feedback, like, oh, this is what I like about Dash, this is what I want to see on Dash in the future. This is how I'm using it. You know, it's great for my kids, or, you know, I love it as myself as a hobbyist, or we could see this in a classroom, things like that. So that's the real goal of the campaign. And we have currently 78 robots left. So they're going pretty quick. And we'll be offering the standalone Arduino board with the integrated motor drivers as its own item shortly, probably sometime this coming week.
You mentioned collaboration, and that's always been a key component of the sort of Arduino ecosystem, is that you can find solutions online and share them. Do you plan a dedicated community to trade ideas and solutions for the Dash robot?
We do. We're planning on implementing what we're going to call the Dash Design Forum, where people can, exchange ideas for what they can do with Dash, exchange code, all that sort of thing, to really build a community behind this, which will make Dash better for all the users and allow us to support them better in the future.
Rick, and would you like to see Dash Robotics head in the future after the campaign finishes?
You know, that's a great question, and it's something that we're using the campaign to sort of figure out. I mean, that's part of that feedback, is how do you use Dash and how would you want to use Dash in the future? So we've had a lot of people think, oh, this is a really cool toy and I love it for my kids, or just like, you know, I'm a maker and hobbyist and this is going to be really fun to hack on. And we've had a lot of interest from educators who have told me, you know, we do robotics education for disadvantaged schools and we're spending an unbelievable amount of money on these Mindstorms kits and it's just not sustainable. And what you have, you know, is something that's a fraction of the price and that would help us immensely. So we think that's amazing. And furthermore, there's other possible applications as mobile sensors, because you have this robot that's very light and very small and very maneuverable. So, you know, let's say there's an earthquake and a building collapses and you want to find people. Your options right now are send in human rescue workers, which is dangerous and expensive, send in a big clunky robot like you mentioned before that's heavy, it's got a lot of moving parts. You know, if any of those parts fail, your robot has failed and you're out $1 million. What we see as a great alternative to that is 1,000 robots similar to Dash that go into the building. They can reach small spaces that people and larger robots can't. And if a few of them fail, it's okay. You really just have to have a few succeed out of that 1,000. So you've decentralized the failure and you've lowered the cost significantly. So then you know, okay, now we found the people, you know, we mounted CO2 sensors on these small robots, we found the people, now we can send the rescue workers in to exactly where they need to be, which is safer and cheaper and better for everyone.
So in a sense, they're almost disposable in that sort of environment or that kind of strategy.
Yeah, yes, they are. That's a big part of the idea, is that when you're deploying 1,000, 2,000, 10,000 robots, which is reasonable with this technology, you're not worried about a few failing. You know, you could have 1,000 failures and still do what you want to do.
Very neat. Well, that was Nick Kohut, CEO of Dash Robotics. We'll have more information on Dash Robotics and the Dash Robot on Robots Podcast. So, Nick, thank you very much for joining us.
Thanks, Matt.
Take care.
You too.
And that's it for today. Check out our website at robotspodcast.com for more information about Dash and all our past episodes. The next episode will air in 2 weeks' time. Until then, goodbye. Dash with Robots, the podcast for news and views on robotics.